You've got some debt going on. You need to know how to do it. Debt Resistor's Guide, among other things, will show you legal ways to log roll the parasite class to keep them off your back and off your family's back and get more cash in your hand. I'm not kidding. That's real money for you. This is a very corrupt society, and so it deserves and needs this sort of guerrilla tactic that I'm discussing. The Debt Resistor's Guide. It's online. You can find it with a search. You've been listening to Press Watch. It's getting towards the top of the hour. Chris Andre is coming in next, and we're broadcasting to you via 90.7 FM on our big red and white Eiffel Tower on the Hill, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Hello, Weirdo. This is Rich, host of Radio Lost and Found. Be sure to check out the show on its new time slot. That's every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight. Radio Lost and Found is a two-hour mediascape of found records, tapes, found sound, internet insanity, and more. That's Radio Lost and Found every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Sexual Assault Resource Center's 40th Anniversary Fundraiser on Thursday, April 27th at 5 p.m. at Echo Trust in Portland. The Sexual Assault Resource Center was founded in 1977 to promote social justice by eliminating sexual violence in our community through education, support, and advocacy. Their fundraiser features Moody Little Sister and DJ Mr. Moo Moo and more. Again, that's the Sexual Assault Resource Center's 40th Anniversary Fundraiser on Thursday, April 27th at 5 p.m. at Echo Trust, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, April 27, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. A little weather to get things rolling. Today we got showers possibly in the offing, mostly in the morning, and high around 56, and gentle winds. For tonight, is possibility of a little light rain still hanging around. Lows around 43. For tomorrow, pretty much the same picture regarding rain, partly sunny though, and a high around 60 for tomorrow night. Overcast skies and lows around 40. That said, there are many headlines. You know, it's the contrast between America's response to North Korea and South Korea's response to North Korea's menacing, saber-rattling behavior. The U.S., of course, has taken a belligerent stance, planting its feet well apart, placing its fists firmly on it in its waist, and glaring at the North. Many South Koreans that I've spoken to are more concerned about their upcoming election. The only real worry regarding North Korea is what Trump might do, because he's obviously going to try to one-up himself after he dropped the mother of all bombs on a cave in Afghanistan. He's probably looking for something to distract Americans, and particularly his base, the voters who elected him, to distract those people from the fact that they really don't have any plans for tax reform, and that they're going to have to eliminate or at least ignore the question of the wall until we don't see it coming, I suppose, the best way to put it. We do have Christine on the line. We have the most exceptionally wonderful guest. If you haven't heard of the Korea Women DMZ, is an organization formed by a group of South Korean women, activists, intellectuals, public intellectuals, and leaders. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. We have to get through a couple of headlines. Oregon lawmakers find themselves in a position of having to nudge hard, lean into colleges to around the state to get them to respect diversity. You would imagine it, Oregon of all places, though of course this is the state that tried to eliminate or prevent African Americans from coming to live here. We do have to acknowledge that. Otherwise, though, the very fact that lawmakers have to step in, the grown-ups have to come in and say, now, kids, play nicely with everyone. Speaking of which, a 14-year-old boy, what was he doing on the Morrison Bridge at 1:30 in the morning? Well, apparently, he was there to shoot people who had gathered to bemoan the election of Donald Trump. Still, says a bit about what his parents, presumably the voters in the House, were doing when were they out celebrating too and maybe got a bit sideways behind it? We'll never know. But the kid is going to jail for at least 10 years, we are told. There's a gathering of nations going on, one of North America's most prominent powwows is set to begin in New Mexico in the wake of pipeline protests in North Dakota. That said, that will be going on, and indeed, tribal recognition is going to be on the agenda big time. The Trump administration's launched an office to highlight, get this, crimes committed by undocumented immigrants. He really does have it in for people, considering that America is all in all immigrants, be they documented or not, and regardless of what documentation the people who built this nation might have. People who built this nation were, in fact, African-Americans. They were slaves. It's something Donald Trump will probably never get around to addressing. Right now, though, we're going to speak. We are very fortunate to have Christine on joining us today. One of the signers of a statement that was released by the group, Women Cross DMZ. And this was founded by Christine on our guest today. She joins us, I believe, from Hawaii, where it is very early in the morning. Good morning, Christine. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be joining you.
Well, South Korea is one of those nations that Americans probably can't find on a map, and B, would never have concerned themselves with were it not for North Korea and Donald Trump's saber rattling. North Korea has staged all kinds of missile tests and nuclear tests over the years. They are clearly doing everything they can. The entire nation is focused on protecting their way of life, and the United States just can't have that. So. And now, of course, we have Donald Trump. Can you tell us a little bit about the statement that Women Cross DMZ has released?
Thank you so much. And it seems like you're a rare person in the United States who actually understands a little more of the critical history. And I think the question that most listeners should ask is, why is North Korea doing all these missile tests and nuclear weapons tests and saber rattling or acting belligerently towards the United States? And as most Americans don't realize, the Korean War was fought by the United States. The United States led the United Nations command in a war against the DPRK, and it was the United States, along with the Soviet Union, that divided the Korean Peninsula, which is an ancient country. In fact, the historian Bruce Cummings says that, you know, there's Korea is one of those rare countries where its territory has been defined because it is a peninsula. And contrary to Donald Trump's offhand comment that Korea was a part of China, that is not the case.
far from it. And also, yeah, I mean, the culture, the legend, folklore, and all of that part of the story of the two Koreas, that is never brought up. We only talk about it in terms of military.
Right. And so that's unfortunate that 38th parallel was drawn. Essentially, it came from two State Department officers who, in the wake of the U.S. as a victor in World War II, Korea at that time had been colonized by Japan for 35 years. That was, you know, the era that my parents grew up under Japanese occupation. They couldn't speak Korean. They had to take Japanese names, you know. But essentially, two State Department officers drew a line across the 38th parallel, sent a memo to Stalin to say you could have north of it, that would include Pyongyang, and we'll take south, which includes Seoul. And that's basically the history. And that then led to the creation of two separate states, the U.S. put into a military occupation in South Korea, and basically we still have that military occupation today. Ultimately, the creation of two separate states led to the Korean War, in which 4 million people were killed, mostly innocent civilians. And, you know, that's where we bring in the current history. So, you know, as you mentioned in your introduction, yes, we dropped the mother of all bombs and guns, and we also sent 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles, which cost $1 million apiece, to Syria. And, you know, Donald Trump leaned over and told President Xi, we dropped these bombs, you know, in his country club meeting over chocolate cake.
Yes.
You know, as a message that if you don't rein in North Korea, then you are, we're going to be basically acting independently. And so I think this brings us to South Korea, which is, as you noted, South Koreans are in a frenzy right now. They have been working overtime because they impeached, they organized mass protests, candlelight vigils on a weekly basis starting in the fall, which led to the impeachment of the corrupt politician and president Park Geun-hye, whose father was the dictator for almost 20 years in South Korea, and who led a hardline policy against North Korea. And they got her out, and now they have been focused on the snap election, which is going to happen on May 9th. And I think that's the critical issue. That's why I think the U.S. You're right, we have been having this ongoing issue with North Korea, but why now? And I think that is the fundamental question. And I think, yes, we have a new president, but I also think it's because what is happening right at this very moment is massive protests in South Korea against the deployment of the Lockheed Martin U.S. Missile Defense System, the THAAD. And they have been hurrying. I think that's why we saw General Mattis being deployed. That's why we saw Rex Tillerson being deployed. That's why we see Mike Pence. They're going to make sure that this THAAD missile defense system is deployed before the next president. And it looks like the leading candidate is Moon Jae-in, who has said he's a liberal candidate. He was the chief of staff under the last progressive president in South Korea. You know, that presidency was trying to renegotiate the terms of the U.S. wartime operational control over South Korea. That's what most people don't realize. We actually control the South Korean military during wartime. I mean, you know, South Korea is really not an independent and sovereign nation unless they have full control over their military and politics and economy. And that's where we kind of still have this clientelistic relationship with South Korea. So anyway, this is all to say that I think that is the issue, why we're seeing the increased, you know, focus on North Korea as a way to justify more militarization in South Korea, which includes the deployment of the THAAD missile defense system.
It's very hard. What we're seeing now, the third time, Donald Trump has a very cavalier attitude towards people, the people of nations that he decides to interfere with. It's as though their lives matter very little in his great plan that he's going to demonstrate America's military might. Well, I think we've pretty much demonstrated that. I don't think anybody has any questions about America's heft when it comes to weaponry. So he stands to gain nothing, and he has so much to lose. And what does South Korea have in its arsenal as far as diplomacy and working with Americans? Has Donald Trump even sent an ambassador to South Korea? Do we have any diplomatic base?
Exactly. We haven't even, the Trump administration hasn't even appointed an ambassador, or hasn't even appointed any high-level diplomats or, you know, officials in the State Department. And so what are they talking about? That diplomacy is just going to be made by these generals in the top cabinet? It's absolutely ludicrous. And that's what allows Donald Trump to make such ridiculous remarks about Korea being a part of Little China, or sending the USS Carl Vinson, you know, to the Korean waters, when
it turned out to be the Mediterranean waters, I think.
Right.
We don't know this country doesn't know what it's doing. Christine, I apologize for this. We're going to have to cut the conversation short right now. But
there's
I would like
to say, though, Chris, really quickly, which is,